Good morning and welcome to Morning Cyber. This is Justin Robinson from Rogue Security. I'm here with Joe Flower.
From Cyberforce. How are you doing, Justin? It's been a little while.
It has been a little while. We're going to figure out that intro, but I love that we're just like throwing caution to the wind every time we do it.
No, it's just a bit of fun. Not scripted like this. Not scripted, just well planned.
Wonderful. How are you, Joe?
I'm okay. I took a bit of a tumble, but I'm all right. Yeah, I've got a big blue cast on my arm. And I think that was the first thing you saw when you came in today. But yeah, I'm okay. Doing well. Let's fight another day.
Yeah. Good. He is in good spirits. So I can confirm that. And we didn't really get a chance to talk much about it, but I broke my wrist a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Baseball. I slid to catch a ball and my glove got caught. And it could have been a lot worse than it was, but I remember that and that pain. So I can appreciate anytime anybody experiences like a broken bone.
But it was a weird one, right? We were talking about this earlier, but it didn't. In the moment, what happened was, so I fell and obviously landed on my arm, but behind me, and I kind of blacked out for a little bit. Came up here, back up to the apartment, and said to Katie, "There's something wrong with my finger." And I was more focused on my finger than anything else because it was dislocated. So when we got to the hospital, they said that I'd have to go back in on what was it yesterday? Wednesday?
Yes.
Yeah. And get a cast put on. And just broken my elbow, but the elbow didn't hurt. It was the weirdest thing. Like, it did not hurt one bit. I just had a cut and a graze on my arm. But it turns out you need a cast for these things, even if they don't hurt. And yeah, can't get it wet. So that's the worst.
Oh, that's pain. Yeah, I have one of those shower, full arm
things if you need it. Yeah, I probably will. It's like, but I think the funny thing is the way that they've casted it, I look like I don't know, the Rock on one side of my body, and then I look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo on the other, just skinny and sinewy. It's a funny kind of mix. But we're not here to talk about ailments. We're here to talk about cybersecurity. How have you found it this week?
Oh, there's a lot been going on this week. The Twitter hack, there's 5G stuff going on, like there's breaches and hacks going on all over the place. But I think the big thing that's been going on this week specifically has been the Twitter hack. And all of those, I think it was 130 individuals, like pretty famous verified individuals on Twitter, posting and just to a random Bitcoin address. But
it was just so funny. Like, it just came. I remember being sat there, woke up, and the first thing I do, if anyone cares, is I check LinkedIn, then Facebook, then Twitter, because I've seen a post about that today. What do you do first thing in the morning? It was this guy trying to work out which social media that he can target the most at that time in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I ended up on Twitter and I saw that there was this hack. Now, the first thought that crossed my mind was, how stupid do you have to be to send Bitcoin to Bill Gates for him to send you back double?
I think if you follow Bill Gates, like, it's not like he posts about Bitcoin ever. That's not really something that he would do. Although, you know, I appreciate the design behind like cryptocurrency, not so much Bitcoin specifically. It was a pretty good fish though, and it was obviously they posted literally with those people's accounts.
Yeah,
so that's the crazy part.
Well, this is it. So I was speaking to a couple of different people about it, and it can really boil down to being something as easy as one of these hackers, or I suppose that is what we call them, being sat outside a Twitter office, watching people go in and come out and seeing who's really not happy with their job, and just offering them $15,000 to give them their login. And it can be as easy as that, from what I understand. That we don't know if that actually is what happened, but that's a hypothesis around what could have happened. Is that happening a lot, do you think?
Yes. Yes. So the whole, so it's the, this hack started no differently than so many other hacks. And it wasn't like complex. It didn't, they didn't like use some crazy supercomputer. It was, they social engineered some Twitter employees, got access to their accounts, which contained obviously Twitter employees. They have internal tools. Then they reset all of those account passwords to those people, got into their accounts as those people, and then posted those tweets. And actually, the crazy thing is, for eight of them, they used the Twitter data tool to download all of the data from their account. So all of their DMs, all of their, it says eight of the 130, but it didn't say which eight of those individuals.
No, and there's a lot of speculation around it being, I think from what I saw, it was Elon Musk, Obama. They were the two main ones. But I feel as though that's one of the major things that's happened this week. But as we just sat down, I checked my phone, and I there's a guy that I have on LinkedIn called Jamie Rees. He's quite a influential figure within cybersecurity, I'd say, in our region, Atlantic Canadian region. And he posted about Garmin, so the navigation equipment company. I think the best way to describe it would be using that, or just tracking tool company. I don't know how you
describe they do fitness watches and fitness bracelets and heart rate monitors. They do really good heart rate monitors, is what they do a really good job of. But like the crazy, so we talked maybe not last episode, but the episode before that, about the Chinese smartwatch getting hacked. And that was, you know, the thing with that, it was very likely a very inexpensive piece of hardware. No, Garmin is a very expensive brand to buy. Mm. And so if we're having the conversation of, you know, an inexpensive brand getting hacked and an expensive brand getting hacked, you know, we're having that in the same conversation. You know, I hope that helps us realize that the conversation needs to kind of get away from just brand and like everyone is a potential target.
Oh, of course. And I mean, that just shows so much, like, that it's not just the brand itself, but it's people. Like, just because you're famous doesn't mean you're the only target. Like, for example, I've been a target of cybersecurity breaches. I've had my information stolen on a number of different times, and that's just the way that it is. And I mean, so back to that article, I was just checking now. So what Garmin did this morning, they shut down services and didn't say what was going on. They just said there were a couple of servers had gone down. So that started off this morning in their Indian branch. They tweeted about some of the servers being down. Okay. Now, as we moved on from that, it looks like they then went into saying that Garmin's main Twitter and Facebook account shared the same outage message about the incident impacting Garmin Connect, including the mobile app and the website, with company call centers also being down due to the outage. Now, to me, that's not just a server or two servers. That's someone has attacked it, and they're saying that it's an unconfirmed Waster locker run. So do you know of that?
What was the ransomware name again?
It's called Waster Locker. I've never heard of it before. Nope. Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of it. It says here that Evil Corp Gang's Wasted Locker ransomware was allegedly used in the attack that caused Garmin's outage. I mean, as I said, I've never heard of it. But for everyone that's listening, who are Evil Corp?
Oh, yeah. So Evil Corp is their... If I'm thinking about the right group, it's the Russian hackers. They've actually, I believe, they've been indicted by the U.S. already. But, I mean, what are you going to do, right? Fly to Russia? Good luck. Yeah. So ransomware all works the same. It installs software on your computer that puts encryption on all of your files, and the key gets sent back to the hacker. And certain ransomware is built really well, and other ransomware is built not so well. And that's kind of the definition. Okay. Evil Corp, I would suggest, is probably putting out some pretty good ransomware.
Mm, well, that makes sense. So, I mean, other than Garmin, there's been a few other things. I mean, my love for football and then my love for cybersecurity news has come together on two different occasions this morning, and I think I shared the post within 20 minutes of each other. I mean, there was the first post, but Justin, I mean, you read it, so you can go into more detail about this one. But the headline was football stadium, their kind of the turnstiles they used to get in shut down due to attack. I mean, you read that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget, but all of these systems are just built off of computers in the back end that are controlling when you scan a card, it's going to open a turnstile or... You know, and some of these systems get really old, and they're way, way harder. These physical systems that have these circuit boards that are much harder to update than like a computer that's connected to the internet. And yeah, that's kind of a that's probably the best case scenario for them, and it likely meant. If they either thought they were going to get caught and didn't feel like going any further to lock that out. And I don't know if it was like a, could have been a ransomware, could have been malware. I didn't get that too far into it, but it's funny.
Let me just double check. So it says ransomware.
Yeah.
Ransomware. I think for me, it's like, I always remember when you used to take your ticket along with you, and the person that was at the attendant that sat in the booth used to just tear the ticket and you'd head on in, and you could have if you had a friend that was a lot smaller than you just kind of like, because there's so many people, you've got like 24,000 people trying to get into a stadium in one go, you've got one person stood on the kind of turnstile pushing their foot down to let you through, and if you've got a small enough friend, they can just kind of get in behind you as they turn the turnstile, you're both through. Don't do that, it's illegal, but now it's just so automated. I remember the first season when we were given these cards that you had to scan and it would let you in. So you go up to it with the machine, it's basically like every kind of card that we have, and it takes credits off each time. So it's got a certain number of scans. So if you scan it once and it doesn't work, then you have to scan it twice or three times, and then you then have to take it to someone else to reload it. Bear in mind, this was like, what, 10 years ago that they did this? You have to reload the credits back on to make sure that you go in next time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that's the system then. And I mean, if that can be hacked, it just shows that anything can be hacked. Really. I mean, why would someone hack that? Was there a reason? Do you see?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so any thing about ransomware is that it's for money. So they say, we will give you the decryption keys if you pay us X amount of money. So, you know, it's always about money with ransomware typically. Now, some ransomware, like APT groups, advanced persistent threat groups, like they say that they sort of steal from the rich, give to the poor. I've read stories where hackers use ransomware attacks just to fund the, and this is typically why they do it, is they use it to, you know, fund other criminal activities. So, you know, including more ransomware, which is why paying ransomware is a terrible idea, because it just perpetuates it, makes you a target.
So this attack, for example, could lead on to the next one that we're discussing.
Possibly.
It didn't, because the one that I'm talking about next actually came prior to this one. And that was, as you said, the business email compromise, wherein one of the Premier League football club's managing directors, so the guy that or girl that runs the show, was embroiled within transfer negotiation and nearly had £1 million stolen by a cyber criminal. Now, £1 million in reference, if people don't understand the conversion rate, you're looking at somewhere, I think it's around $1.7 million, maybe.
Oh, why?
Which over an email is a... imagine losing that amount of money because you didn't check the email.
I can't even imagine that amount of money in the first place, much less imagining losing it. Business email compromise is so tricky. And it'll be interesting to find out more about that incident because, like, it very well could have been that attacker was listening in on their conversation, was receiving sort of the middleman. Could have been receiving email from the, you know, CEO, whoever was sending it, and then forwarding it on to the individual contractor. And then at one point, he would have just taken over the conversation.
Okay.
And that's sometimes how easy it is.
I mean, it says here, the director inadvertently entered their credentials into a spoof Office 365 login page that provided the attackers with their details and the ability to monitor their emails. So including one about the impending transfer of a player. Attackers used the stolen credentials to start a dialogue between the two clubs, and the deal was even approved, but the payment didn't go through because the bank identified the cyber criminal's account as fraudulent. So I think that shows that banks are really on it when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I think we probably don't give them enough credit as they deserve sometimes.
If I were on the board of that football club, I would be very concerned about my internal auditing process on vendor payments, which is why third-party vendor management is such a big thing in security as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think from what I've seen, correct me if I'm wrong, but quite a lot of the large sports organizations outsource their cyber to maybe a VC server. Have you seen that a lot? Or do they have them on site?
You know, and not as much as they should probably. A lot of these organizations would have internal IT, and then they would outsource certain aspects of their IT to maybe like a managed service provider or a managed security service provider. But there's no one there that's over sort of overlooking everything and making sure that what they've actually got in place makes sense. And that's why stuff like this continues happening, even though these companies and, you know, these football clubs are spending exorbitant amounts of money on cybersecurity. Like, it is legitimately billions and billions of dollars in the industry.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have to. I think it's very funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were actually looking for a new CISO job in the UK. And we were discussing the fact that there's quite a few organizations that are large companies that aren't in the tech space that do outsource their cybersecurity. But even then, they have somebody on site that is certified and is like a CISO for them in-house. And now I said, but that doesn't make much sense, surely. And he came back and he said to me, well, why do you have a fire extinguisher under the sink? And I said to him, in case there's a fire. And then he said, yeah, but you also have the fire brigade down the road that you can phone. So the fire brigade are the tech company. And the fire extinguisher is a CISO that doesn't probably have a huge amount to do all year long in case something goes wrong, but they've built the process in place in case it does go wrong. So it's very interesting, really, isn't it? But I think surely it would pay dividends to have a CISO versus an in-house person, correct?
Absolutely. For a larger enterprise, it would make sense to have an internal CISO, but okay. Most organizations, small, medium size especially, don't need that. And I've heard a lot of people compare it to insurance. And I mean, that's an okay comparison, but the thing with insurance is that, like, have you ever seen a car accident?
Have I ever seen
any kind?
I personally have seen them.
Right, and so the point I'm trying to make here is, So we even if we haven't experienced the purpose for insurance,
oh, of course, seen it,
and we haven't gotten there with cybersecurity yet, but we are so close. I'm glad that the conversation is getting to where it is in the industry now, because, you know, the case for having a security professional on staff, even if, or on call or on some type of subscription, like a virtual CISO would be, you've got that incident responder who can manage your entire incident response, get it going right away. The thing about ransomware is that the best way to protect against it is obviously not to get it in the first place through not clicking on files that could install ransomware on your servers and malware protection and USB protection. But we need to have that normalized, and a virtual CISO can help with that.
Okay, fair enough. So, couple of other things that have come up this week. What have you? I've seen a few, so I'll let you. I had my bit there with the football, so I got my stuff out. But you go ahead.
I think the world's going to start to see more on this 5G stuff, and mostly it's the Huawei 5G, specifically. Mm-hmm. And like, there's just so much misinformation about this going on, and so recently, UK government announced that they were eliminating all of the Huawei 5G equipment that they had previously stated they were going to install by like the end of 2021 or something.
Hmm.
And so I've been listening to interviews, and we're always talking about, you know, the security threat, but they're not actually talking about what the problem actually is. So if you've been in the industry, if you've been in the security industry especially, what you see out of sort of that Asia-Pacific aspect of the world is just the security standards aren't as good as like North America, like straight up. So like the coding isn't, the focus isn't on the security in the code. And that's what makes their hardware, their network gear insecure. It's more just poorly coded. And then the conversation is being pushed politically about, you know, China is doing it intentionally so that they can get access to other countries' networks. So I just felt like I needed to talk about the non-political aspect of just insecure, you know, software in network hardware. And that's really the root of the conversation and where it should be, in my opinion. And I agree with it. I've seen it in even government software from, you know, the Taiwan for the stuff they use to transfer tax documents from businesses to the government. Instead of taking an approach in their software of like zero trust, and only when you install software, only use what you need, their software is just grabbing all access to your computer, it's actually the Windows API, and I won't get into that. But it's not what the software does do, it's what it could do.
Yeah, and well, that brings us back to our conversation a couple of weeks ago about apps as well. Mm-hmm. It's like we don't read the fine print. It says that you can take pictures with this app, and you can. My favorite one, I saw someone post about it 2 weeks ago, and they basically were detailing this app that goes along with Instagram. So you use it to edit your pictures, and he was reading through it. And he saw that actually they had access to all your contacts in your phone, which is great if it was an app that required contacts, but it was literally just to make the picture black and white or other tints. Yeah. So it was just insane. So always check what you're giving away without realizing it, I suppose, just because it looks like a fancy new app, don't just download it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think to your point about there is so much hysteria that seems to have been drawn up around this Huawei stuff, and it's very political. But I like the way that you spun it to show it in a plain way, that to take the politics out of it, it's just a bit of an issue regardless.
Yeah, I think we just need to start talking about the issues more.
Oh, very much so.
And it's not even, it's everywhere in the world. Like, other countries are doing this too. It's not just China. It's the concern is that Huawei has pushed so far ahead of other countries with the 5G technology. There's just more of a risk that they're going to be able to use it for bad purposes. And I don't think there's really much trust there anymore with between any country in this world. So.
Oh, no, and I think that's... Okay, so this was... I saw a video come up. I watched it on YouTube. I think I've shared it on my LinkedIn a couple of different times. It was a while ago. But this brings into the question that I have next, is which country, would you say is the elite cybersecurity force? The video I saw was on Israel.
Yeah, I mean... Israel has done some really amazing things with their education system.
Very much
to
so.
Produce like ridiculous cyber talent. And so that makes perfect sense. Like, surprisingly, in there, Netherlands has a fairly strong cyber force, believe it or not. I remember seeing an article, and I don't quite remember the statistics from it, but like, you know, you've got the North Koreas, the Russias, the USs of the world, the UKs that have just ridiculous amounts. Iran has a very large, you know, Israel. Iran's up there as well. And so you've got, you know, your standard. These are your usual nation states that you've always heard of. And then you've got Netherlands, but they do a lot of good stuff too.
Yeah, and I think I was just intrigued by this video because, as you said, the education system, it showed these people in schools that they were like cherry picked to be part of the cyber program. And I just found it incredible. And even in the video, it goes on to talk about how the next step of everyday hacking is going to be cars. And people are going to hack cars. I'll put a link to it when we put this out and you can see the video. It's really, really, really cool. But yeah, I was just intrigued to see your thoughts on who the cyber nation was.
I would like to see more of that from Canada. And I think New Brunswick has done a really good job. The Canadian province of New Brunswick has done a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's really, I mean, Dallas in the US has done a really good job. New York is a hub of cybersecurity as well. So like there's spots, but I think there needs to be a little more openness in our industry and a little more sharing. And there's plenty to go around, guys. Like, let's not be greedy.
I just find it's very similar to like the way that the recruitment industry works. Okay. I do get it. I'm a recruiter, so that's how I feel. But at the same time, if I have a candidate who I'm just there purely to help them, if I know of someone who may be interested in taking them on, then as another recruitment company, then I will share the resume and obviously have a bit of a discussion with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people that won't do that. But we have to remember that recruitment, yes, it's our job and it's our livelihood, but it's people. It's their job and their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it boils down to what you said. Cybersecurity is similar in a way because you're sharing opportunity to learn, to get a career. The career is the main one because you're bringing new people into an industry. And just to provide a sense of safety for the area, I suppose. Like, as you mentioned, New Brunswick, I've already mentioned the guy already, Jamie Rees. He's spearheading quite a lot of that. Then we've also got Tim Perron from the ICTC.
Right.
That's another program that I think you can go into on another episode. And I think we should tell everybody about the different programs that are out there currently that we've been made aware of, and how if you were listening to this and you wanted to get involved in cybersecurity, there's stuff there that you can leverage that is free, and you don't have to pay extortionate amounts to take a course here or take a course there. Because I think that's what people think.
It is, honestly. And I was actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because it was on Salesforce's free Trailhead training site.
Okay.
And there was some cybersecurity stuff, like an introduction to business cybersecurity. Like, take advantage of that. Even just an understanding of basic cybersecurity is gonna could save you a major headache and a major invoice.
Yeah. How much does the Cybrary stuff cost? Because I saw someone that I spoke to today is actually, they've done a Cybrary degree. And it took 2 years to do it.
Wow.
I haven't heard that term before, a degree. I mean, but Cybrary seems, it comes off my YouTube and on my Instagram and on my Facebook. It's about the ads that don't listen to you, but listen to you.
Yeah.
Have you ever used it?
Yeah. I liked Cybrary when it was free. But and the videos were good. They had a lot of information. I've heard a lot of people say that they were really good for them getting their certs, because they have some really good certification path videos.
Okay.
I found them okay. Definitely more on the educational cert sort of route.
Okay.
But they have so much more now, and I haven't really looked at it in about a year or so. But I know that, like, they have that subscription-based model, and they do some, like, lab work and stuff. They now have some hands-on practice, which is really the differentiator for most people hiring cybersecurity professionals. Is just tell me in some way, shape, or form, and don't lie to me, that you've had, at least you've touched it, you've seen the interface.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to expect you to know it. I don't care if you know it. I'm going to have to train you on it anyway to tell you how to do it the way that I want you to do it. So just if you've seen the interface, or you've seen a similar interface, or you're familiar with the concept, make sure you're not leaving that conversation out.
That's fair enough. So, I mean, what have we got coming up on the next show? I think there's a couple of things that we can implement in. I've got a couple of ideas. I'd like to ask you a couple of quiz questions. I think I want to put together a bit of a quiz. And I mean, if anybody's got any questions for Justin in regards to the tech side of things, or for myself in regards to anything, you can ask me about anything. I would be more than happy to field those questions, and it could be quite good fun. I mean, we've also got the social media contest going still.
Yep.
How long have we got left? Is it till the end of this month?
End of this month. So we'll tally up all of the numbers from our three social media platforms, and we will select a couple of winners after that.
Okay. And once the winners have been selected, you'll be named and shamed on the podcast, and we might actually get the stuff posted quite quickly.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. We might have to send it UPS or something like that versus the Canadian Postal Service at the moment. I think it's a bit slow, but that's not the point. So, I mean, yeah. Sounds good.
That's about it. I'm really excited. That.
Mm-hmm. And if you do have any questions, you can send them to our email address, which is
info@morningcyber.com.
Or you can just post them on Facebook, and one of us will be sure to pick them up. Thanks. Speak soon.
Cheers.